Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and we are so happy to have a bright, sunny day in Clearwater, Florida. The last couple days have been a little dreary, so a little bit of rain, but we needed the rain, and now the storms have passed, and we're ready to have the sunshine, not just the sunshine outside, but the sunshine of God in our lives. And I am so pleased to have our special guests who are part of our radio team on a regular basis. Right here beside me to my right, Betty Thomas from up in Connersville, Indiana. Betty, you're on the air with us a lot. You're part of our eight-person team, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am, and enjoy every minute of it.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. And you guys surprised me this week and just came on down. So pretty nice to have you here.
Well, thank you. We kind of surprised you with, how would you like to have some visitors?
Yes, you did. And we said, of course, absolutely. And to my left is your beautiful daughter, Megan, and Megan Kramer, who is also part of our radio team and has been for the last two or three years. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, time has flown, and it doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't, does it?
Not at all.
It's crazy. I mean, we just so much fun. We're having so much fun doing this. So it's all good. And so we welcome every one of you. And in the studio is also a very special guest. Over here with headphones on his head. And he is, who is he, Megan?
That's my bubby, my Andrew.
That's your son,
my
Andrew.
Baby.
Yes. And we are excited to have Andrew right here. He's got some projects he's working on his laptop, so he's going to be busy while we're on the show. But he's got headphones on so he can hear everything we say to him, right? Yeah, and you're going to hear all this great music. And he's eating some mints right now. We just ate lunch. So it's a great day. I'm so glad to have Betty and Megan in the studio and Andrew right here with us on the show today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I didn't get to be here last week. I was at my nephew's wedding, so I don't take a week off very often. Pastor Jim hosted the show, and I believe you were on.
Yes.
With Nan, Betty.
Yes.
Last week. And people can access any of our shows on our website at any time. Go to bohmglobal.com. And we've got about almost 300 shows on there. Getting ready, Pastor Jim told us today, to celebrate our 400th show the week before Thanksgiving. Now, that's going to be pretty exciting, don't you think?
That's awesome. I can't believe 400 shows. That's a gift from God.
That's a lot. And
it
so
is.
They're all there on the website. And I know, Megan, you do this. Betty, you do too. Sometimes when you want to go back and listen to something, or you want to just go back a couple years back and listen to a show, it's cool to be able to do that on our website, isn't it?
Oh, you know, it's awesome because if you can't sleep, or if you're troubled about something,
right?
All of those shows are titled.
Yes.
And you could find the right show that could bless you,
right,
for the circumstances that you're in.
Right. And we try our best to title them. And it also says who's on there and that kind of thing. And through the years, we are in our eighth year on the radio. It's hard to believe, Cedric. Cedric's been our engineer for the last couple. Three? It's been three already?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my gosh. Time flies when you're having this much fun. And Cedric became a new daddy a few months ago, so that was exciting. And he's just faithful as our engineer and does a great job recording the shows and then getting them to us so we can get them on our website the next day. That is a huge blessing. And a lot of people listen. They can't listen live sometimes because of their circumstances, work, or whatever. So it's great, Cedric, that you do what you do and get them to us. I don't know about you, Megan, but I think Cedric is a big blessing to us.
He is a huge blessing.
Yes.
Very
yes.
blessed to have Cedric.
Yes,
he's the man.
Are. He's the man. All
Thank
right.
You.
Yes. So it's a busy time in a lot of people's lives. We had several people gone with vacations and relatives and all kinds of stuff at this morning at Beacon of Hope. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and you're visiting, we welcome you to come and join us for service. If you are not visiting and you live in our area and you don't have a home church, of course we welcome you to come and experience the Word of the Lord. Megan, what does that do for you as you just hear the Word? I mean, the Word is just, that's the key.
It's the Word. And, it, you know, when you come to church on Sunday, it lasts you through the week.
It does.
Until you get back, whether on Bible study at Wednesday, so you get right. a little, you know, get a little taste during the week, and
right.
then you come back again on Sunday ready to fill up for the week.
It
like
helps.
Filling up your tank.
It really does. It helps tremendously, doesn't it?
It does.
So we welcome any of you out there. Come and visit with us. We are at the corner, basically, of Drew Street and U.S. 19 in Clearwater. A little hard to find, so go to our website, bohmglobal.com. It's kind of it's right at 19 and Drew, but it's a little complicated, right behind the Toyota dealership. So 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North is where we are, Sunday morning 10:30, Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. We're in a new series, Betty. I'm so excited about this series. You know I'm excited, don't you?
Oh, yes. After listening to you this morning and coming the drive with you down here, I tell you what, this woman is on fire today. So I hope the listeners will be encouraged and be blessed by what you have to tell them today.
Well, it's exciting. Frontline freedom. You know, it's a call to action, and it's a new day in this ministry, and we are plugging forward, pushing forward into the things of the Spirit and learning more. And Megan, even though we have difficult things we go through, and we'll talk later on with you about some that you've been going through, but still, we are pushing forward into the things of God. We want all that God has for us.
Amen. And it's a new day to be courageous.
Amen.
And to step out on the front line and to find out what it's like to be living in the glory, in the full glory of God, and stepping out and stop being afraid.
Amen. In fact, we're going to start today with a Chris Tomlin song that I love, Awake My Soul, because I think that's a message to all of us. You know, wake up. Let's come out of the doldrums of our life and the things that we go through and the difficult moments. The last 2 days here in Florida has been really cloudy and stormy and rainy. And today, it's like a new day. It's like blue sky. I don't think there's a cloud out there. And its sun is shining. And that's the way we need to be spiritually and emotionally. Awake my soul. Let's do it.
Of God.
Amen. The Word gives life to my dry bones, and I come alive when I hear the Word of God. And that's what this ministry is all about. Our slogan for ever since we began in 2001 is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We're all about healing and restoration, and that happens through the anointed Word of God. So get ready. Here we go. Luke chapter 5. And we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. Luke chapter 5, when he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, and this is talking about Jesus, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. I love that sentence. Woo, Megan, what were they doing? They were out there at the lake by the water.
They were just hanging out. The people fishing.
Yeah.
Maybe they were sunbathing. Who knows if they did that back then.
Right.
But they were trying to get close to the Lord.
Oh, they were. Absolutely. And what's exciting is they were wanting to hear the word. They wanted to hear what God had to say to them. I don't know about y'all, Betty, but I'm ready right now to hear what God has to say in this radio show today, because we never know what God's going to do, do we?
No. It's when the Holy Spirit says move, we move.
Right.
And whenever he says, let's go forward, let's all go forward, and we can do that with the Word of God.
Absolutely. And so he's got a message. There's for whoever listens today or whoever listens later on our website, there is a message specifically for each one of you. So put your spiritual ears on and get ready to hear what God has to say. And the first point is we need to be so excited to hear the Word of God that we're pushing in to hear it all. We want to know what God has to say. We don't want to be back here just wondering, well, I don't know if I should listen today or whatever. We want to hear the fresh word of God, don't you think, man?
Amen. It's a drive to want to hear what the Lord's going to, what he's going to talk about, what he's going to let us hear for the day.
Right.
You know, put your cell phone down, quit picking your fingers or looking at the floor.
Picking your fingers.
Pay attention to the pastor and what the pastor's got to say.
Well, it's true, really. And because, and you know, life gets us so busy, caught up with activities, all the things that we have in this world for entertainment, that a lot of times I think people don't realize that the main thing they need to do is soak in the word, Betty. That's what these people, they were crowding Jesus to hear the word.
Well, even back then, they knew that he had something to say.
Amen.
And they wanted more.
Yes.
They wanted more than just, you know, two or three words. They wanted to hear his words of wisdom.
Yes.
His parables. The words that he had to say were uplifting, along with the other things that he did so far as the healing.
Oh, amen.
And I know sitting around a lake, nothing could be more comforting than sitting around water.
Water.
And he is the living water.
He is. Amen.
His word refreshes us. So, you know, it's an opportunity for people to be refreshed.
Amen.
And to hear, even though Jesus is not with us, he's with us here in spirit.
Yes.
And that you can be refreshed by the washing of his word.
By the washing of the word. And, oh, that is so true. And that's what was going on here. So all these people are crowded in. And Jesus notices two particular boats. Now, this is God's plan, you know, because these two boats were owned and operated, each boat, by two people. And those four people, so two boats, two people each, those four people were key, instrumental people in the spreading of the gospel. One of my commentaries said that it was common at this time of year to have like 4,000 boats right around the lake. That's a lot of boats, because they were fishing. That was their trade. So they were earning money and earning their living this way. But Jesus hones in on two. Very interesting. Interesting that he had the plan on who these disciples were going to be. In one boat, it was owned by Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. The other boat was owned by James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So here Jesus is, and he finds these two boats right there and notices that the fishermen had just left their nets, and they were out scrubbing them and cleaning them because they had been out fishing. And interesting, Jesus gets real aggressive. He just invades our space. He invades our space. That's what God wants to do today on this show, Megan, is invade people's space.
Amen.
Talk to me about that, because you've had that happen to you, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you've listened to the radio shows, you know what we've been through, but God will invade your space. He's not this little micro voice that you're going to hear. It's going to be something that's going to rock your world, get your attention. He's not going to tap you on the shoulder. He's going to come right in front of your face.
Well, and he does this here. He climbs into Simon Peter's boat. I love that.
Yeah, they're probably like, what are you doing?
Wait a minute, who are you?
Right.
And there he is. He's invading their space, all right. He's invading their vessel that gives them their livelihood, right?
Right.
And he just jumps into the boat and climbs in there, and he asks Simon Peter, to push out a little from the shore. And, I mean, I'm sure Simon Peter is just like, whoa, who is this, you know? And it says here that he used the boat for his pulpit, and he began to teach from there. We don't have to have one of those big fancy wood pulpits. I have one at church, but I don't use it. So I've got this little tiny thing, this little stool that I use. I prefer that method of teaching, always have. You know, back in Indiana, I still did not ever use a pulpit. And so Jesus used a boat, so I like that. I correlate with that. I would use a boat if we were out there on the water. But anyway, when he finished teaching, he said to Simon, go out into the deep water and let your nets out for a catch. So Jesus understood, even after he taught the principles that he taught, he understood that Simon Peter was hurting today. They had gathered no fish. You know, basically they had not found anything. Are there times in our lives when it's dark and it's a drought and it seems like nothing's happening and we're not catching any fish, Betty?
Oh, yes. And I have to say, you know, even in my own life, that there's been storms. I'm sure just like some of the fishermen faced
right.
back then,
right.
that, you know, even before a storm, the catch might not be quite as great during
right.
that storm. But
right.
you still have to depend on the Lord God Almighty to see you through that storm. And, you know, once the storm breaks,
mm-hmm.
the catch is there.
It's there.
You know, the fish are there for the fishermen. Or
right.
our blessings or something that we've been waiting for is maybe just, you know, you blink your eye, because that's how quickly he can react. That's
exactly.
how quickly he gives
right.
is within a blink of an eye.
Right. And so circumstances are about to change for Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and for their good buddies, James and John. And I'm sure they really weren't aware of it. They were sitting there listening to the teaching that Jesus was giving from the boat pulpit, you know, but I don't think that they realized it was going to come down and change their lives totally and completely at that moment. And Megan, I think the Holy Spirit is like that a lot of times. He surprises us in very unusual ways, and he changes our lives in a split second, and we sometimes do not see it coming. I can say that from personal experience. We don't see the huge change that's about to happen. But yet, as we walk with him on a daily basis, we should begin to learn to embrace change.
Of course, and the other word that comes to mind is trust.
Trust.
You have to trust his plan.
Oh, amen.
And that's extremely hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it involves, and I'll say this because it's close to my heart, the life of your unborn child.
That's right.
You have to trust him.
You have to.
And, you know, when you fully let go, yeah, it's frightening. I've been at that point in my life. But there, it's not frightening once you step through the open door that
right.
he has opened for you. And just like the fishermen had to trust this
yes.
stranger that stepped into their boat and
yes.
they and go out into the deep water. What? Why do you want me to go out into the water? What are you going to do that we couldn't do?
Right.
They had to trust that.
Right. And it's interesting that he said, go out into the deep. Don't you think? I didn't bring that out in my sermon this morning. Talk to me about that, Betty, because I think a lot of times we just get stuck in the shallow ground where we can see the bottom. We can see it, you know, where all the little rocks and pebbles and shells are.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those people that I stay in the shallow end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know how to swim,
mm-hmm.
but it's my own, it's my footing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have to believe that the farther out I walk, that I have to have faith.
Right.
And I have to have trust that I can count on myself to get myself back to shore.
Right.
And I think that's what the disciples were doing, is that when he told them to go out in the deep water, it's like, we've already been out there. There's
that's
nothing
what they
out
said.
There's no, you know, there we've already been out there. There's nothing there. But they didn't know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was in their boat.
Right.
So they had to have trust that whoever this man was that stepped into their boat,
right.
it's like come on, you want us to do what?
Right.
And it was just amazing as you read on into the scriptures, just how much they really trusted the Lord.
Oh.
And that's what we have to do today, that no matter what the circumstances, if you're a fisherman or if you own a business,
right.
and it's not doing so good,
right.
is put your faith and trust in God and watch what he can do.
And allow him to show you to do something different maybe than you're already doing.
Oh, yeah, move forward, because we have to take that step of faith.
Absolutely.
We have to be courageous enough and submit
right
to his will,
right,
that his will be done and not ours.
Amen. This new series we're in is called Frontline Freedom, A Call to Action. It's not a call to sit around and just do business as usual, Megan. It's not a call to say, well, I've always done it this way. I'm going to keep doing it this way. I'm going to, you know, I know God. I know you want me to step out in faith here, but I'm not ready to do that. I can't do that. That's not what this series is about. It's having the freedom that God gives us to be on that front line and to be in the center of his will doing exploits for God.
Amen. And, you know, it's like, I'm sure people have had days where they get up and they're, you know, everything flows like butter. That's what
butter.
I say, flows like butter.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, why did that day go so well? Well, maybe it's because you gave up your selfish behavior.
Right.
And you said that morning when you woke up, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And let them see me. Let them see you through me.
Right.
And when you do that, when you step out on the front line and you let the Lord lead your day and you don't try to control it,
right,
things will work in your favor. Guaranteed.
And honestly, we have a story like that right here.
Amen.
I mean, Simon says, wait a minute, God, push out in the deep. I mean, he didn't say God. He said, Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. I mean, they hadn't even caught bait. You know, nothing. There was nothing that had happened. They've been out there all night long. Don't you know that God allows the night seasons of non-productivity so that we are willing to receive the daylight and the new move of God? Yeah. Talk to me about that. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I definitely do. And I see in my own life that I'm scared.
Yeah. We're going to get to a verse about that.
And guess what that is? That's that old thing called fear.
Right.
That I have the faith and trust in Jesus
right.
to lead me through. Being out on the front lines, it can be a little bit scary.
It is scary.
But that's where I totally submit to him and tell him, okay, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you say,
right.
I will do. And It brings up a topic of stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of us are scared. They don't want to because, like, I don't know what's out. This is what you said this morning. I don't know what's out there.
That's
what
right.
am I going to do?
Right.
Trust and believe in him. He's never left us nor forsaken us.
That's right.
And is he going to do it now? No.
And you're right about that. We so want things to be predictable. We mm-hmm. want the outcome that we think we're going to have in a given set of circumstances to just fall in line the way it's supposed to, so that we're not stretched in any way. Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John were stretched when Jesus said, get out there in the deep water. I know you haven't caught anything all night. Just trust me on this. And you know, he did allow them to voice their opinion, which I think is cool, Megan, that he did allow them to belly ache a little bit, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
and say, but we were out there all night, we didn't catch anything. And he heard them out, and then he goes, yeah, but
go out in the water, because I have something to show you. Trust me.
Right.
Let's go.
Push out. And it says here, and I love this, we're in Luke 5, if you're just joining us, and about verse 5, Simon, this is Simon Peter, says, Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets. I love that. If you tell me something to do, God, I'll do it, is what Simon Peter was saying. And he recognized after listening to the word of God that Jesus was preaching for however long he preached or taught there and from his boat, he recognized, wait a minute. Oh, he knows something I don't know. If he tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. Betty, we have to get to a point in our lives that when God speaks, we listen and obey.
We have to. And you try so hard to recognize the Lord's voice.
Right.
But a lot of times he'll open a door and we'll be like a dog and we'll just stand there and look at it.
like one of my dogs.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to bring that up, but yeah.
They obey so well.
They
right?
obey so well.
They are.
They hear.
Just...
They hear their master's voice, but they don't respond.
Yeah. Stop doing that. No.
No.
Not going
no.
To.
Thank you. But that's how we are. If we hear right. our master's voice,
right.
You have to recognize that it's him,
mm.
because God will lead you.
Amen.
Where you need to go.
Right.
And that's what is so important. And the key to this is learning to hear
yes.
the master's voice.
Yes.
The disciples knew.
Right.
They called him master.
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 Yes.
Because they believed in what he said.
Right. Right.
And a lot of the pastors, including yourself, you speak the word. You speak the truth in
right.
spirit and in truth.
Right.
But do we listen? Are we truly listening when you speak? And when you're telling the word, you hope and with by faith and pray that the people, that the word, like you said, does not come back void.
Right.
And that's what we have to do, is we have to listen, keep our listening ears on, get our, you know, the wax out of our ears.
Right.
So that we can hear what the Lord has to say.
And sometimes that's a daily decision, too, or an hourly decision. Okay, God, I'm going to open my ears and listen to you. You know what I'm saying? And so here he says, if you say so, I'll let down the nets. And it was no sooner said than done. This was not a matter of going out and fishing all night long again or all day long and trying to get a few fish. Talk to me about this. It was no sooner said than done.
No, it was instantaneous.
I love it.
Instantaneous. Just as he works.
Exactly. Yes. And there was no waiting around and no, I don't know, what's going to happen, you know. And I think sometimes God wants to teach us a lesson by doing things very quickly. We have these suddenly moments, and that I love to talk about on the air, because I've had a ton of them in my life. There's a lot of suddenly moments in the Word of God where suddenly your circumstances change. And suddenly you're in a different groove than a life path maybe than you thought you were going to, you know. So they got this huge haul of fish, and they were straining at the nets past capacity, and they had to call in James and John in the other boat, and they had to get them over there, and they said, come help us. We have so many fish, we don't know what to do with them. And they were nearly swamping the boats, that many blessings. Betty, oh, if we could get to that point in our lives where we are ready to have that amount of blessing, even though it might change our lives, because this blessing change their lives forever.
Well, and everybody that saw it, I mean, it wasn't just the disciples, but it was, I'm sure it was the people on the shore.
Right.
They seen that they were catching nothing.
Right.
And then all the Lord had to do was say, cast out your nets.
Right.
And look what happened.
Exactly.
There was more blessing in just watching them throw that net.
Right.
And seeing those fish fill that net.
Right.
To overflowing.
Overflowing.
That's how the Lord wants to bless his people.
It almost swamped two boats. That many fish. I mean, seriously, look at that kind of blessing. Huge.
It was almost unfathomable.
Yeah.
Of being able to sink a fishing boat.
Right.
Because
that
I'm sure they were built very well, because they were, most of them were carpenters,
right?
And they were built very well, so it had to take a multitude,
a lot of fish.
That's a lot of fish.
What an adventure they are beginning right here. So Simon Peter in verse 8 of Luke 5, when he sees all this, he does not say, "Oh my gosh, let's go out again." He falls to his knees before Jesus, and he says, "Master, leave me. I'm a sinner. I can't handle the holiness. Leave me to myself." Talk to me about that, Megan. When we see a miracle in front of us happening, or we see something that it just boggles our mind how God could be doing something right then in our circumstances, even good or bad, it causes us to realize his sovereignty, don't you think?
It does, and I can speak that in my own life, because in the NICU, when Grayson was still hooked to life support,
right?
You know, you wouldn't think that God could be seen through someone in the NICU, but he was.
Right.
And, you know, there should have been such sorrow, there should right. have been such sadness, such crying, such mourning, but there was not. There was peace.
Yes.
And there was joy. In that room.
Yes.
So, you know, no matter what the situation,
right.
he will be seen if you allow him to be seen.
Amen.
If you allow him, if you drop your guard and let him step on the scene.
That's an excellent point, because that's what Simon Peter had to do. He had to drop his guard.
That's right.
He fell to his knees and he goes, oh, look at me. I am just a human full of flaws.
That's right.
Full of sin, full of things that are not worked out in my life, you know? And because of the miracle caused the repentance, I believe, right here. Betty, talk to me about that.
Well, it can, because it stirs you inside.
Yes.
And I've had several stirrings in the last few weeks.
Right.
With the passing of my grandson. And it's caused me to realize just how fragile life is.
Yes.
And how many blessings that I overlook during the day myself, being that I have two blessings sitting here in front of me.
Right here.
And you.
That's three blessings.
That's three
right
blessings.
Here.
I mean, all
Cedric is a blessing.
Yes,
now
he
there's
is.
Four of us, right?
So there's four blessings that
there we go.
That we overlooked.
Right.
We just overlook them because
right.
we take advantage sometimes right. of our circumstances or whatever we're in. But you know, we've still got to give God the glory because
Amen.
He is the one that is going to bring us through whatever we're in.
Absolutely. And no matter how tough it may seem when we're going through those dark times. Like Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John, that night of fishing was a dark night. There was nothing caught. And yet God had an answer right around the bend. And Megan, I think sometimes we tend to miss the answer around the bend because we gave up too soon. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like if you've been given bad news,
right.
you hang on to it. You don't want to go around it. Or through it, you want to stay in it. You want to dwell in
why
it.
Why do humans do that? Why do we want to dwell in the hard moment?
Well, why do we want to beat ourselves up?
Well, there you go.
You know, because that's what you do.
That is
when
what
you
do.
Hang in the junk, you're beating yourself up.
Right.
When there is an answer, when you walk through it or around it, and that's the Lord.
Right. And so often, you're right. We stay in the mess and we feel sorry for ourselves. You've not done that, you and Ben.
Could have, but I didn't.
Yeah. And you chose not to.
That's right.
And regardless of how difficult it's been, and we'll talk more about that as the show progresses, but because of that, your choice is to stay in the moment and receive what the blessings are coming, even though you can't see what they are.
Right. Well, you know, when you were given news that your child had a 50% chance of survival back when you're trying to enjoy a pregnancy, which pregnancies are, you know, they're beautiful. They're meant to be a joyous time in your life, the 10 months that you're pregnant. But when you're given drastic news that your child has a congenital disorder, yeah, it stops you in your tracks.
Right.
And, you know, whether you've been given an illness order, you've been given the cancer diagnosis, or, you know, you've got mental problems, you've got, you know, if you're stuck in something, there is a way out. And I'm proof that there's a way out because I chose not to stay in that
right.
moment. I chose
right.
to get down on my knees just like
Simon Peter.
Just like Simon Peter did and said, I'm not worthy. Right. I bow before you, Lord,
yes.
because you've shown me the true way.
Woo. And what this does, it gives you the boldness and the courage to go forward into the great adventure. When you are on the front line, like this series that we're talking about right now, Betty, you and I have been on the front line together since the late 80s. And some people go, really? Are you all that old? Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And
you are. You're not old.
Yeah, okay, whatever. And you and your husband and Megan, as a little girl, came to my church I pastored in Indiana, back in the late 80s. And we became fast friends. We became prayer partners, back then. And prayer warriors, yes. But since then, life has not all been roses since that time that we were prayer warriors together, back then. If anything, we've been through a whole lot of stuff with our kids and our grandkids and my great-granddaughters now and all kinds of things. And all of this we've been through. But as we've gone through it, we've gotten closer to God. We've chosen to trust him in the midst of the storm, praising him in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's hard to describe to people how you can be joyous through such a desperate time, But it is possible.
Right.
Because you choose not to let the devil control your thoughts.
That's it.
You choose not to. And, you know,
Amen.
Through this entire process, it's been wonderful to be on the radio show and just to be part of Beacon of Hope and part of the ministry that we're a part of at home. But, you know, when you let go and let God,
that's it.
You come into
right
you come into the light.
That's it. And you come from the darkness. So yeah. You think of Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John fishing all night long in the dark, not getting anything. And so often we still try in the dark times. You
of
know,
of course,
we are like, oh, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Whatever your issue is, you know, if I just think positively, I'll come out of this. If I just go to, you know, a great lengths to do this or to break this habit or whatever, when what God wants us to do is totally rely on Him, submit, you know, 2 Chronicles 16:9, I quoted this morning. I love that verse. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His. That's the key. Looking for those whose hearts are completely His. Dear listener today, does your heart belong to the Lord Jesus? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Is He the Lord of your life? Do you want to grow in the things of God? Is that your goal? Because as you do, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, their lives changed absolutely overnight as they came through the dark. And as they did the steps of obedience, as the sun came up, as they listened to Jesus talking, and this was probably in the morning, this was amazing what happened as that shifted from dark to light, Betty.
You know, I could even say in my own life that I watched my daughter. My husband and I both did.
Yeah.
And we grew our strength.
Right.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ, through prayer and through supplication.
Right.
But we also watched our 33-year-old daughter was stronger than we were. And it's hard to see somebody hurting when it's your own flesh and blood.
Sure it is.
And one of the great things about that is at the deepest, darkest time, is that we prayed a prayer that said, Lord, not your will be done.
Right.
Your will be done and not ours.
Right.
It was the hardest prayer I ever prayed.
Right.
At that point in time, I mean, I've prayed that prayer many, many times in my life. But for me, I'm a fighter.
Right.
I don't want to let go.
Right.
I want to keep on. I want to keep on keeping on. But at that point in time, God looked me straight in the face and He said, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Right.
Let me take over.
Yeah. It's rest and it's trust.
Yes. And that's what I had to do. And for this old soldier, that was hard to do. And but again, it's the faith and trust and the great and new things that God has for us after all of this turmoil and trials that we've been through, this storm. The sun shined today for the first time since we've been here.
Yeah.
But we broke through.
Amen.
We broke through that darkness because of the light.
And because we're on this great adventure that we're going to talk more about on this show, listen to this song, one of our favorites by Stephen Curtis Chapman, an old song, The Great Adventure.
Saddle up your horses. Another time around the circle.
Praise God. We got a trail to blaze, people. Cedric, we are going to throw something at you. We want you to try to find the song Behind the Line of Grace by Karen Peck and New River. And we'll do that in a little while. You got it? Good. Praise God. Okay. Great adventure. It is a great adventure when we step out of our circumstances, Betty, and the way we want it to go. And this is what God's saying in this series, this frontline freedom. It is freeing to not have to control the way we think things should go. Do you know what I'm saying by that?
Yes, because I think we all struggle with that.
Yeah.
Is because we think we can do it better
than
the Lord can.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily true.
Right.
In fact, it's probably 99.9% not true because we want Him to guide us and direct our paths.
But we get hung up on preconceived ideas of how God's going to do something, what He's going to do, and it can absolutely bog us down, Megan, don't you think?
Yeah, because when you get your hopes up then those plans were changed, it can crush you.
It can crush you.
It can.
And for people who expect a certain outcome, then when it doesn't happen the way they think it's going to happen, oftentimes the human emotions just cause them to, like on a big roller coaster, when you're at the top and you're climbing to the top and then you look down and then they let go and there you go on down. And a lot of times people don't go on up the other side. They're just so down because God did not do what they thought He said He was going to do.
Right. And I could have been stuck in that valley. I could have been stuck there. And, you know, I came home from the hospital and I had one of those moments where, and I even told my dad, what am I going to do with myself?
Right.
I was planning on coming home with another child and our lives were going to be totally changed, but that wasn't His plan.
Right.
So the spiritual Megan heard, no, get up off the couch now. This is over. You're done. And that was it. It was only a very temporary moment because the spiritual is stronger than the human.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yes. Woo. Yes, because the natural mind thinks it wants to do a certain thing, you know.
Exactly.
And grieve. And there's nothing wrong with grieving.
No.
I'm not saying that at all. But when it immobilizes you. There might be some of our listeners out there today that are stuck in depression, because depression is a common problem in this day and age. And so many people are on antidepressants. And we are not a ministry that tells you don't take your medicine. No, it's not like that. But it really speaks of this generation, does it not? That so many people have to be on antidepressants all the time, you know, because they're in a valley and they can't find a way out. There is an answer. God has an answer. Not that you shouldn't take your medicine. We're not saying that at all. Don't take it that way. Yeah. But we're saying that God wants you out of that pit of despair. Talk to me, Betty, because so many people get caught down in there when they feel like God did not do what they thought He was going to do or do the miracle that they expected Him to do. There you go. That's you. You're raising your hand?
I must confess because...
Go ahead and confess on the air in front of multitudes of people.
That's okay because I know I'm forgiven.
Yes, you are.
I threw myself into a state of self-pity.
Okay.
You caught me last night.
Yeah.
And things didn't turn out quite the way I wanted them to.
Right.
I wanted two grandsons.
Right. You have two. One just happens to be living in heaven.
Yes, he is.
Right.
And he's going to be our little warring angel.
Yeah.
But it's not the way I wanted it.
Right. Right.
And I wasn't mad at God. I was mad at myself for letting myself get down into that pit of the pity parties.
And that can be just as bad when we strike out at ourselves, too.
Oh, yeah, because we think that we failed God.
Right. Mm-hmm. That we didn't have enough faith.
No.
That we should have fasted more. That we should have given something up.
I should have fasted. I wasn't in prayer 24/7 like I should have been.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 23 hours. I don't know what it was. But I can't go back and change the past because that's not what God wanted. God wanted him. He was too perfect for this world.
Yeah.
So He took him home.
And there's a reason
for everything. There is a reason for everything. And I don't know that reason. I can't speak for anyone but myself. Is that I wanted him to have a Lazarus moment.
Right.
that wasn't to be. The Lazarus moment is for us.
Right.
Is to bring us back to life.
Amen.
Because we're in the darkness for a little while when we're in the self-pity mode.
Right.
But when God brings us out into the light, there's so much more around us. It just completely surrounded me the other night. And I have to confess that, yes, I was in a pity party, but I don't want to be there anymore.
Amen.
Because I had my eyes opened.
Right.
Because Jesus is the light. He wants us where he wants us. We should not be where we want to be. We want to be where he wants us to be.
Don't you think probably Peter and Andrew during the night when they didn't catch one little minnow, by daylight were pretty discouraged?
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, and then here comes Jesus and invades their space, you know, with a different plan of action. Not the plan that they thought it was going to be. We just played that song, Great Adventure, and that was on purpose, because we are in a great adventure here. If we will get on the front line and find the freedom that there is in being right there on the front line where we are being told, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Being obedient to God's call.
And it is. And you know, life here on earth is a great adventure.
Yeah.
And you should want to choose the great adventure, not the, oh, pity party, poor me over here. You know, my life is horrible. You know, so I just go about my daily life and I just, you know, I complain to everybody and I want everybody to feel sorry for me. No. Saddle up the horse that the Lord leads so that you can be on the front line, so that you can live in freedom, so that you can live free of depression, you can live free of the devil trying to wreck your life, right. So that you can live in eternity. That's my plan, because I'm going where my son went.
Exactly.
That is my plan, and that is where we're all going.
Amen. So some of you out there today that maybe are just really in the pit about something that's not worked out the way you want it to, you know, the grace of God, Jesus, it says in John 1, God, Jesus came and he was full of grace and truth. Grace is his empowering presence that allows us to get through difficult circumstances in our lives. It's his favor that showers on us and causes us to step out of our comfort zone and receive that healing. That's his grace. And Cedric, I think this is a perfect time for Behind the Line of Grace by Karen Peck and New River. And, you know, we wanted you two to sing it this morning at church, and it didn't work out that way. We didn't have the CD, but you can, of course, sing right now if you want. So that'll work. You can.
I'll let Karen Peck and New River do it.
You think
I'll
Karen
sing
Peck?
While they listen.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll let Karen Peck do it. Let's go.
Children quietly lie in wait while the battle rages on. Rules of this war say that God will always shield his own. And though afraid, danger well in sight, sometimes we're just too tired to try. He tells us to be still and know and wait behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. There's no weapon that can stand against the wall God built in our defense. We may not always see his face, but we're secure behind the line of grace. He will not withdraw his eyes from the righteous night or day. We may not always see him, but he knows the way we take. When we have no strength, no power to fight, and it seems like like God is nowhere in sight. He steps in front of the enemy while we rest behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe.
That song. Woo! All right. We just may have to use that again later. You know what I want you to pull? We're just going to let the Holy Spirit just change this all around. Cedric is Courageous by Casting Crowns at some point. Listeners, we are in Luke 5, and we'll finish this up and go to Isaiah 8, because what happened is that Peter and Andrew and James and John caught so many fish that they were amazed, astonished, almost broke the boats. And in verse 10 of Luke 5, Jesus says to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him.
Amen. You know, it's because just like if you're in a boat, whatever situation you're in, if you let the master, if you let God step in your boat, he will overflow your life with abundance.
Amen.
Just like he did speaking in regards to the fish. And so, you know, when they saw that miracle, it was life changing.
Amen.
And I've had the same type of experience.
Yes.
And so they followed the master.
Amen. Woo.
Just that's all you can say.
They had to let go of everything.
They did. They left all those fish behind.
They left all those fish behind too.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure people were going, "Oh, I'll get some of those. I'll get some of those." But, you know, they just left it behind and followed Jesus. I have my cell phone right here. And if any of you want to ask a question, make a comment to Megan or Betty during the show, use my email address, pastor@bohmglobal.com. And or if you know their phone numbers, you can, of course, do that. And I'll give it to you one more time. If you want to ask a question or make a comment during the show, and I'll check it periodically sitting right here, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Betty, comment on that. I mean, they just left it all and followed Jesus. They left it.
You know what? It's because they wanted to.
Yeah.
It's because they knew that there was something ahead of them. They were going to go forward with something that maybe they didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew in their heart they had to follow Jesus.
They were being called to be disciples, and that's what the second hour is all about here as we go into the second hour. Disciples are those that are student learners, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I got my learner's permit for driving. In fact, I remember when a couple of my grandchildren did too, and it was kind of scary riding with them, but when they had their learner's permit, you know, I remember the first time I rode with my granddaughter, Rylan, and it was like, whoa, you know, but she was a good little driver, student learner. A disciple is someone who is learning as a student. They have submitted themselves to not be the teacher, but to be the student in that situation. We're going to talk more about that in this next hour and how that applies to our lives on the everyday basis. We welcome you to check out our website. It's www.bohmglobal.com. It was revised, has been revised in the last year, so check it out, bohmglobal.com. You can contact the prayer group, the prayer team, with a simple email, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Carol up in Georgia, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, are the ones that, for the most part, write the prayers. And we've been getting more and more of you listeners to send in prayer requests lately. It's almost, every week. There's names I've never heard of. And we'd love to hear how you have heard about us, perhaps from the radio show. But we're getting more and more prayer requests. Praise God for that. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Station ID.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. And that's still Dave's voice, and that's cool. And we just want to mention one more time, Dave went to be with the Lord, one of the owners of this station, his wife Lola. But Dave went a couple weeks ago now, Cedric, is that right? And he was very ill.
Yeah, it was two Mondays ago,
yes. And our condolences to the family. I know there's several children and family members and, of course, Lola. And we have been privileged to be a part of this Tan Talk family now in our eighth year here. So there is going to be a celebration for his life, and
right.
We will be talking more about that soon. He was a good man. He was a wonderful man. He gave us the opportunity here on the air. Remember the very first time I ever talked to him and told him what I wanted to do and my concept for the show, and he said, that's great. Let's do it. And so the support was there. So anyway, we just remember the family right now, Lola and the family, in the loss and the passing of Dave. So we are in our second hour on this show today, Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. With me are my very wonderful friends and radio team members, Betty on my right and Megan, her daughter, on the left. And grandson Andrew over there is doing wonderful, isn't he not?
He's being excellent.
He has learned to play soccer with my dog Zoe, the dachshund, and he entertains her and she entertains him, and they're quite a team. So anyway, it's so good to have you guys live in the studio, because normally you're from your homes and from your phones and all of that. We want to remind people, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come to our services. We'd love to have you Sunday morning at 10:30. Wednesday night, Bible study at 7. Wednesday night, Bible study is very interactive. You have a chance to talk and share. And Sunday morning is more of a typical worship service and preaching and all that, ministry to your needs at the end of the service. But Wednesday night is a little different format. People love it. It's exciting. We are now starting at 5:30 on Wednesday nights with prayer around the altar for an hour in the sanctuary for those who want to join us there. And then we go to the Bible study room to have our Bible study. So if you would like to join us, feel free. And again, we're basically at the corner of Drew and 19. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and find out all the details and the directions on how to come and join us. So, good show. And we are going to Isaiah chapter 8. If you have your Bible, let's go back there. Go left from Luke. And it's kind of in the middle of your Bible. And we're going to Isaiah chapter 8. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the disciple issue here in this hour of living the good life. Disciples are those that have submitted themselves to someone as their leader, as their master. And the disciples, we know that Jesus originally picked 12. One of them, Judas, fell by the wayside. At some point during the ministry, before Judas did that, Jesus also appointed 70, and they went out. That's in Luke chapter 9, 10. And the 70 went out two by two and carried the word of God out and prayed for people. We are called in this day and age, Betty, to be disciples, to be learners of the word, to be students, aren't we?
Yes. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be fishers of men.
Amen.
You know, I never really understood that until later on in life. It's
right.
Like, why do I want to be a fisher of men? Why do I want to be a fisherman? I don't want to be a fisherman. Well, then the Lord revealed to me, I want you to bring them in,
right?
Because that's what a disciple does, is they bring the people in. And the harvest is great
at
this point.
And Jesus said that, too. The harvest is ripe. It's ready. You know, talk to people. Megan, so often we aren't very bold, you know, because maybe we are hurting. Maybe we're going through something like you have just been going through. And it's hard to share, and you want to just kind of recoil. You know, a lot of people, when they're hurting, they just withdraw.
Sure. And, you know, I've always told you, and some of the people that know me know this about me, but I'm an open book.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm that way is, number one, that's the way God created me.
Uh-huh.
And number two, it's because I want people to know that I have been hurt.
Right.
I have experienced an extreme hurt of losing a child that I only got to see for 33 hours.
Right.
And I know that I can relate to people, you know, even if it's not a child that you've lost. You know, I've experienced death when I was younger.
Right.
It's always hard.
Right.
But this time with Grayson, it's been a lot different. It's like I've told you and Mom that it's kind of become a dream. It's very strange to think about it in a human nature, but it's almost like a dream because it was such a peaceful experience. And, you know, and it,
that's interesting you describe it that way.
Exactly, because typically it's a catastrophic event in your life when someone dies. But, you know, that day that happened, when I was in surgery on Thursday, I knew that Grayson left when I was being stitched back up from surgery. And it was hard to tell that to people because, you know, I'm sure people still probably think I'm weird, but you know, I'm a Christ-loving individual, and I'll always be weird. So that's just the way it is. But, you know, and then when we went into the NICU and to experience the fact that I knew that my son was already in the hands of his Creator, he was already at peace. It was just his little body that was left there. And I'm very blessed to have been able to experience that in a totally different way than I could have ever imagined.
Right.
And that's because God was in control.
Because God was. Woo. And I take you back to December, the day, December 10th, when you got the news that he had this congenital diaphragmatic hernia and that the results could be catastrophic. You were told that day. I want you to just tell before we go to this song, humbly, you know, what's the name of it? Falling on my knees.
Mm.
Hungry for you, falling on my knees. Because that happened to you. So we're going to do that song in just a minute.
Well, I don't want to get too wordy. But, you know, like a surrender moment. And the Lord just told me this. It's like the peeling of a hard-boiled egg.
Right.
Because the peeling process for me started back when I found out I was pregnant. And that was a life-changing event because I was into fitness. I was very fit. And I had to totally relinquish
right.
what I'd been doing.
Right.
And so that was the first phase. Second phase was when I found out that Grayson had CDH. And that was like a train that had been going 90 miles an hour coming to a complete halt.
Right.
Like the brakes were just shut down. And that night, you know, I talked to a bunch of family. I'd talked to you and I had a dream. And I'm not going to say right now who I saw, but it was an angel. And right. The Lord is still working through me, and I will figure that out at some point. It could be 30 years from now. But I knew that to get through this situation, that I had to fall on my knees.
Right.
I had never done that in my 32 years of life, ever.
Right.
You know, I've always loved God and always believed in God, but I just knew that's the only place that I could go where I was safe.
Amen.
And you know, that morning that I did it, it wasn't during the night. It was in the morning after I had had that dream. And, you know, it was just, I was in the fetal position. I was weeping. I was crying. And I cried out to God, "You are the only thing that I have to hold on to right now.
Yes.
You are the only thing that's going to get us through this." And during that time, I don't know how long it went on, but I told the Lord that Grayson was his, that it was his life, that he could do whatever he needed to do with that, that I dedicated Grayson to the Lord. And I'm so thankful that I did that. And I did it more than once because I know that's where he is. I know he is in heaven and he's playing. And so, you know, surrenders can come instantaneous or they can come as they did for me, like as a peeling of an egg. It took time and it's still happening.
Oh, this is fantastic. And it so is important for all of our listeners to hear about that surrender and that humbly falling on our knees before God. Listen to the song. No, on track 3 of 343. The other CD.
Go out there to the the table.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Track three.
Give me one second. I think that is 343.
Okay, that's all right. Take your time a minute. Okay,
That was track three.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, you had it right, and I didn't think it started that way. Okay, that's fine. No problem. Here we go. You're all this heart is living for, and that's what it's all about. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. The prophet Isaiah wrote this book, and he was so submitted, and he just, I love his life and how he is the one that wrote these prophecies about the birth and the death of Jesus, the stripes that Jesus was going to take, the prophecies that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. All of this came from the pen of Isaiah 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. I love the fact that this man was such a submitted vessel. And we see in Isaiah chapter 8, starting with about 11, that God speaks to Isaiah boldly And he grabs him by the hands. Now, I don't know about y'all, if God's ever grabbed you before and said, listen up, baby. I mean, Betty, you've had that happen. I've had it happen where God's just saying, listen to me, you know?
Oh, yes. And when he grabs you, you know you've been grabbed.
Boy, it reminds me of when God told me to leave Indiana, my church there, you know, and how painful that was for all of us, you know. But I knew that God had called me out, and he had called me to come to Florida for a new work. And it was extremely hard to go along with that for me. It really was. And Isaiah here, God's got a hold of him, and he says, I got a message for you to deliver. And that message is all through the 66 books of the book of Isaiah, which, by the way, is divided into, and I find this very interesting, two parts in the book of Isaiah. The first 40 chapters really parallel the Old Testament, and the last 39 and 27, the New Testament. So it's just like really amazing. The 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 of the New, how it dovetails in the book of Isaiah. It's like a blueprint for the whole Bible. So here we are, and Isaiah is God tells him, tell people this. Don't be like these people who are always afraid somebody is plotting against them. Remember in Luke 5, if you are just tuning in, you'll have to go back and listen to the first half of the show at a later time on our website. But when the miracle happens with the fish, with Peter and with Andrew, James, and John, Peter falls to his knees and he says, woe's me, I'm a sinner, you know? And Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to just be who I've called you to be. And that's what God is saying here through Isaiah. Don't be like this people, always afraid somebody's plotting against them. You know, Betty, the world's full of people who are, they live in fear and they're afraid all the time that somebody's got it in for them, that there's a conspiracy. You know, in fact, in the New American Standard, it says right there, don't think that this is a conspiracy all the time, you know?
Well, and I think that that's fear. Holds them.
Yes.
I mean, it binds them. Those are chains that can be readily broken.
Right.
Through prayer.
Yes.
And one of the things that you have to realize is that when you come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ,
right.
that there's no reason to be fearful.
No.
There's no reason to be worried. Those do not come from the Lord. They come from the man they call Lucifer.
That's right.
They call him the darkness.
Exactly.
And that's where it comes from. And that's where we have power.
Amen.
And authority.
Yes.
Over fear.
Amen.
And thinking that people are out to get us.
Right.
People are just come to the realization that you have power.
Right.
In your life.
Amen.
Over worry, fear, in darkness.
Absolutely. I think there's a culture in America now that is fear-based. You know, it is very much a conspiracy type stuff all the time that this is going to happen. And not that there aren't bad people out there. There are. But God said to Isaiah, don't always be thinking somebody's plotting against you. Okay? Don't fear what they fear and don't take on their worries. And I think that this is huge when you are surrendering and getting on board with the great adventure that God has for you on the front line. There is freedom from fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen. And that's exactly what I can speak about
yes.
from myself.
Yes.
As I had all that
right.
through the whole entire time after I surrendered. I had all that peace of
negativity.
Mind.
Oh, no. The other.
Yeah, the
coming
other.
Coming at you.
Yes. I mean, and you're going to have, no matter what you're going through, you're going to have people that are going to try to consume you with their problems.
Exactly.
They're going to try to speak negativity on you. They're
right.
going to try to speak depression on you.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, through the love of the Lord and through surrendering to Him and letting Him have total control of your life, it won't faze you.
It won't.
It will not faze you.
And God says this to Isaiah, and Isaiah says, oh, okay, I get it, you know. But you go over in let's go over to 16 of Isaiah 8, and God further says, gather up the testimony and preserve the teaching for my followers. So what God was saying was telling Isaiah, look, I'm going to have you writing things down and preserve it. For the years and the thousands of years to come, you know? And that's what happened. The followers are the disciples. Jesus called disciples. He's still doing it today. Talk to me about that, Megan.
I will.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's like...
I looked at Betty and called out the name Megan, so whatever. You're both confused.
Go ahead. you know, like this morning at church when I came up for prayer, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit was speaking through you and called me a disciple.
Yeah.
I would have never have thought in my wildest dreams that Megan, this little old me, would be someone that would have a testimony that I have to share.
Amen.
With whoever the Lord deems necessary.
Ooh, yeah.
Amen. And, you know, through this whole experience with Grayson and my family is the whole Lazarus moment thing. I never realized that would be for myself.
Right.
And, you know, you could think that you're being punished when you come through some type of situation. But through all of this, there's going to be so many blessings. And one of those blessings is the fact that the Lord is drawing me to write a book.
Right.
And to write this down. And like you said, to keep things, to keep it so that it's always remembered.
Amen.
Whether it's just for me, and it could be very well be just for myself to go back and touch points on what I went through and how I came through it.
But it's probably to help a lot of other people.
I have a feeling, yes.
Look what God did with Isaiah. He's telling him, you know, preserve this. Gather up the information. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, you know, I've watched Megan and I have always been people who like to pray.
Yeah.
And through all of this, I've watched a shifting.
Yes.
A shifting of responsibilities that Megan has always been very independent.
Right.
But I watched her come to the front line
mm-hmm.
and join me.
Whoa.
And the Lord just kind of looked at, and I said, Lord, you know, when I was called to be a warrior, it's like, Lord, why me? You know what he said to me, Pastor? Why not you?
Why not you?
Why not you? And he did the same thing with Megan. It's like, I've always been on the sidelines. He's called her. He's called us all to a new day. He's calling us all forward. He's calling, wants us all to be on the front line. Because
absolutely.
As you talk today, there's liberty.
There's liberty there.
There's freedom.
When you're on the front line and you're really submitted to what God has to do, you're not sitting around worrying and planning your day. You're not worried about how this is going to turn out or that's going to turn out. It is falling in. I love that song we just did. Humbly, I fall, you know, to my knees, because it is falling before him. It is falling back into his arms, mm-hmm. you know, and total trust and surrender. You're not worrying all day long how the day is going to go. It's just, okay, God, whatever you got in store today, I can't wait to see what it's going to be.
Well, I have to talk about this because the day we were leaving the hospital, I had Grayson brought back to the hospital room, and it was another surrender moment.
Right.
And that memory is one of the most vivid memories from the whole hospital experience. And it was a beautiful moment because I wanted God to know that no matter what just happened, he was still in control of my life.
Amen.
And he still had my heart.
Woo!
And I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Courageous, Cedric, by Casting Crowns. And if you can find that, did you already get it? We're ready to go. Guys, this wasn't planned. As you can tell, we're just changing music around on the show today. It's just we're letting the Holy Spirit do it for a reason, and it's for somebody out there, and it's also for us.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. On the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. Yeah.
in church up in here. You know it? I mean, it's revival time. There's been a breakthrough right here at this table with that song today. Did not know that that word front line was in that song. Did not realize some of those words, but it's the only way that we're going to stand is on our knees with lifted hands. And people, it's all about prayer. That's why at Beacon of Hope, in this Frontline series, we have determined to pray more than we ever have before. That's why 5:30 on Wednesday nights is prayer meeting around the altar, not in our comfy chairs in Bible study room, but on our knees with lifted hands. Megan, that's what it takes. That's what happened to you in surrender. And then it did not go the way you expected your pregnancy to go, but it went the way God had ordained for reasons you will probably not be aware of yet, but you will eventually.
That's exactly right. And, you know, just as the song says, is that on your knees with lifted hands, that's how you stand strong. That's how you maintain being courageous.
Right.
And if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't be sitting here with the stature that I have, with the way I'm upheld. It's because I'm walking with Jesus. He's right beside me.
Oh my. You know, this courage, this frontline freedom, it's really freeing to not be bogged down by worry and fear, Betty, by panic attacks, by anxiety attacks. It's really very wonderful to not be bogged down by all of that.
Well, it's just to be free is to be free indeed.
Woo!
And there is no greater accomplishment is that when you walk out of darkness and into the light,
right?
How freeing that is. Because
totally.
You don't have to have the pills. You don't have to have the Xanax for your anxiety.
Right.
You don't have to have that medication that keeps you up, and then you have to take something to get you down.
Right.
Because Jesus will bring you up. Right. He will lift you up. He will put you on solid ground.
He's done that for us today in this show.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't think anybody out there in Radio Land could be as blessed as the three of us have been right here in the show, doing this show. Galatians 5:1 is really the verse for this new series, Frontline Freedom. And it is this verse. It says this, 5:1. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. When people try to put their ideas of how you should handle this loss, Megan, when people try to say, oh, you should be going into deep depression soon, when people try to say, Megan, what's the matter? Why aren't you grieving? You have been grieving.
Of course I have. But I'm the type of person that grieves generally when I'm alone or when I'm with my husband.
Right.
Because that's a personal moment.
Right.
And generally when I'm grieving, I'm praying. And, you know, my quiet time comes at different times. And generally it comes late at night when my husband and I are alone. And, you know, this has been something that's strengthened us.
Yes.
And I know that probably seems weird.
No.
But no, it's not. It's a bonding experience because we've both seen each other at our most vulnerable points.
Right.
But we know that the Lord is with us. And that's what gets you through.
Praise
your
God.
Darkest times.
Amen. It's courage. It's all about courage, Betty. It's time for us to be the courageous people of God that He has ordained for us to be. It's all about courage. It's not about falling down in fear and panic and worry and anxiety. It's about trusting God and knowing that when we're on the front line, that's the safest place that we can be.
Yeah, because we're behind the line of grace.
Whoa! Yeah! Because we're behind the line of grace, of course.
And what better place to be than standing behind and beside you, in front of you, behind you, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
The angel armies are right there, too.
He is the God of angel armies. So, you know what? I take up my shield of faith.
Woo!
I take up my sword of the Spirit, which is the sharper than any two-edged sword.
Right.
And I go out, and I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to win souls for Christ.
Yes.
Because I want them to see God in me.
Amen.
Whatever I speak, whatever I sing, I want them to know that she is a child of God. And where I see it most is in my daughter.
Yeah.
And how she's teaching her own son.
Right.
And how that we as parents have to bring our children up.
Amen.
In the way that they should go. And they will not depart from it. That is God's promise to
us. That is his promise.
And you know what? It takes courage.
Right.
For a parent to say to their child, you cannot do that. That you have to know the difference between right and wrong.
Right.
So it's courageous. It's
Amen.
It's having the ability to step out of the boat, step out of your comfort zone, get rid of the shackles and the chains, come out of the dungeon, and realize that you are a child of God.
Woo! Which reminds me of one of my favorite verses that I quote on here all the time, Isaiah 51:14. The one in chains will soon be set free.
Amen.
Isaiah 51:14, some of that same book, Isaiah 51:14. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. That's for somebody out there in radio Amen. Land right now. The one in chains, maybe you're a victim of physical, emotional, or physical, or sexual violence, and what's the word I'm looking for? When you have all that coming at you, that physical...
when you're abused?
Abuse. That's the word I was looking for. Thanks. And when all that's coming at you, and some of our listening audience may be in that situation, they can't do anything but worry and be in fear. But it's time to get strong. Get on the front line for Jesus. Let God strengthen you. Let God cause you to have a purpose for your life and a reason beyond living as somebody's doormat or as somebody's puppet that they can control and maneuver and treat terrible, you know?
Well, you know what? This is for somebody, too. If you have someone that hits you or verbally abuses you, instead of crying when they do it, start praying.
Right.
Just start praying. Just say the word. Just say the name Jesus.
Right.
And watch what happens.
Right.
Because that's going to totally throw something totally different at the person that's coming at you.
Amen.
And you can even do that for people that are naysayers in your life. Because, you know, when someone does that to me, which it's been done over the past couple of weeks, that to me, just as a Christian, it's a driving coal that I throw in the fire, because that's Satan trying to bring me down.
Exactly.
And it's not going to happen.
No.
Because I'm a child of God and I deserve to be treated and have joy, to be treated with respect and have joy and grace and peace in my life.
Amen. And Megan, some people may not understand why you're handling all this as strongly and as forcefully as you are. But it is because of your surrender to God and saying, I am going to be a frontline freedom fighter.
Amen. Yeah, and it's like I said, I've never thought of myself as someone that would be on the front lines, because when we were here, when we first came back a year and a half to 2 years ago, I thought I was somebody that stood on the back lines and was warning people of what was coming, you know, as an attack.
Right.
But no, when I was, you know, back in December after I surrendered, you know, I was going through the weeping and the crying, just, you know, human nature. And God told me, he said, it's time to get up. You're a warrior. And it's like, it's like, oh, okay, then here I come. And that night, I, in the spirit, saw myself in a totally different light. And since that was another point when, you know, the even more courage came over me.
Right.
Is because I knew that I had a reason to fight. And I was fighting for my life. I was fighting for my son.
Right.
I was fighting for everything.
Right.
And I did it. And I cannot believe that here I am standing on the other side of this with the boldness and courage that I have. And thank you, Jesus, for that. That's all I can say.
Yes, Mama Betty.
God gave her a backbone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Never had one.
And she has set herself up into a different light.
Right.
She set herself up into a different dimension, something that will live with her for the rest of her life.
That's exactly
right. After I'm gone, I want someone to carry on our praying nature.
Right.
I want someone who's going to fight, who's
right.
going to go down into the trenches like your dad did during his time in the war. And people, if you don't think we're going through a war, I'm here to tell you we are. We're fighting for our lives.
That's
we're fighting
right.
for our freedom right now, our religious freedom.
Right.
And God is going to see us through. I've read the last chapter of the book. And you know what? we end up winning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we may have lost some battles, but you know what, people? We're going to win this war.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you what, God is looking for the next generation.
He is. Amen.
He's looking for you. And, you know, if he's tapped you on the shoulder, stop ignoring him, because it's time to rise up.
Rise Amen. Up and fight. Cedric, we're going to go to track five on 302, If We've Ever Needed You by Casting Crowns.
Here I cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us out, we turned away. We've turned away. With shipwrecked faith,
what a great song. Wow. If we've ever needed you now, we need you right now, Lord. There are so many people that need Jesus. I'm just reminded of Matthew 9. It wasn't where I was going to go, but I'm going to go there. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, healed their diseased bodies. Dear ones, if you've got a diseased body right now, we're going to pray for you in just a moment. Jesus healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. You got some bruises and some hurt going on in your lives. We're going to be praying and ministering to you in just a minute. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. He was so confused and aimless. They were so confused and aimless. They were like sheep with no shepherd. And here's what Jesus said when he looked out over the crowd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. People, we need to be praying for harvest hands, more disciples to be raised up in this hour who will carry the good news of God's healing power for our bruised and hurting lives. Jesus, it says there, his heart broke, and that it, in some translations it said he was filled with compassion. And compassion is best defined this way. I've got it written in my Bible. A sympathetic consciousness of another's distress plus the desire to alleviate it. It's just not enough to say, oh, I feel sorry for you because you're going through this. But compassion is also a desire to do something about the hurt. Okay, we're going to do something about it in a few minutes as we pray for these people. Megan, talk to me. Jesus felt that compassion. I know you feel compassion for people, couples like you and Ben that have just gone through CDH. And we have, you know, and that, by the way, people, is congenital diaphragmatic hernia. And there's a lot of people. You're on caringbridge.org now, correct?
Yeah, we have a Caring Bridge website. It's just, you go to Caring Bridge and type in Grace and Joe. It's G-R-A-C-I-N and then J-O-E. But they can also email you if they want to get in
Absolutely.
Contact with me. Because,
yes.
you know, you no matter whether it's CDH or Down syndrome or whatever it is, if you have a child in utero or a child that's in the NICU, I'll pray for you.
Yes.
Contact pastor and contact BOH to pray for you as well.
Right.
Because it's not a hopeless situation. It's not hopeless.
It's not.
It's not, because
some,
you know,
babies live through it and go through the surgery.
Yes. Some 50% of children survive, but mine was the 50% that doesn't. But he is in heaven in eternity where all of my family is going, and he's waiting on us. And that is a driving force to me to want to minister to people about what we've gone through. And, you know, I've always had such a high level of compassion for people. And that through this whole situation, the hardest thing to watch is to watch family that's grieving, and to watch my son that has had his moments as well, even though he's 4 years old. But there is hope outside of such devastating news.
Yes, there is. Hey, Grandma Betty.
Yeah.
So we've got people that are not on the front lines that are out there listening to the show today that have just kind of, that they know Jesus, and they know that if they die tonight, they go to heaven. But they don't, they've really never got on board with the plan and the purpose that God has for their lives. What do you say to people like that? Come on.
Well, you pray for them.
Right.
And you ask for the Lord to give them a new fire.
Right.
You ask them to give them the joy of their salvation.
Right.
To relive, to regenerate the compassion that Jesus has, that he's given them.
Amen.
And that is for seeing the souls saved.
Yes.
Seeing them so that even if it's your own family.
Right.
That a lot of times, if you know someone who has a family member that they just cannot minister to,
right.
maybe someone outside can, because you've tried for so long. Or if you have a partner or a spouse that just doesn't quite get it,
right.
is pray for them.
Right.
I think that's the most powerful tool that we have
Absolutely,
in the
is.
World today.
It is
the
prayer.
Power of prayer.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, as we do that, and let's go to prayer right now for these. Dear Lord, we come to you right now, and we know there are people that are listening either now live on the show today or maybe later on our website who are grieving, who are in despair, who are going through difficult times in their lives, and they need a touch from you, Almighty God. And, Lord, we are your servants right here, surrendering to your will, and our desire is to stand in the gap for these dear ones that need a touch from you. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to move in their lives right now. Renew their hope, renew their spirit, renew their courage. Give them a desire to be all that you want them to be. Lord, give them a desire to follow the plan that you have ordained for their lives, and not to get sidetracked and over in other things and distracted off of your plan. Lord, let this show right now today be an example to them of, even though we may go through difficult times and have outcomes in our lives that we would not really choose, you, Lord, are there with us through every bit of it. And you are absolutely pouring your grace, your power for in allowing us to get through whatever it is we have to get through. Lord, we just thank you so much, mighty God. You are so great and powerful. And you know, each one of us, Lord, it's so cool that you have created each of us different. We're different. You know us by name. We are yours. Our names are written on your hand. And Lord, I just thank you right now and praise you from the bottom of my heart for every listener to today, live or later in the future, who will grasp this message of hope and who will fall to their knees and say, God, I cannot do this without you, who will submit to you, to the lordship of Jesus in their lives. Lord, you know who these people are. We just speak courage in the name of Jesus to each one of them, and let them realize that they are walking behind the line of grace and they can get through this difficult moment. We thank you for that knowledge and that blessing in each of our lives. Touch these souls right now. If there are people that are ill, Lord, we speak healing to their bodies. Yes, those right now that have been diagnosed with cancer and feel hopeless, Lord, we just curse that cancer in the name of Jesus. Yes. Those that are suffering from arthritis out there right now, rheumatoid arthritis, I speak to you in the name of Jesus and bind you off of these people right now in Jesus' name. People with digestive issues, we speak healing to you in the name of Jesus. Yes, people with migraine headaches, we speak to you in the name of Jesus and say, be healed. People, whichever it is that you're going through, and emotional distress, and people that are going through mental illness, Lord, we just speak your name, Jesus, over every one of these people right now. Yes, help them to realize that they are walking behind that line of grace, and that you right now are touching them and healing them. Lord. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, and we got to go back to Behind the Line of Grace by Karen Peck and New River.
God's children quietly lie in wait while the battle rages on. Rules of this war say that God will always shield his own. And though afraid, danger well in sight, sometimes we're just too tired to try. He tells us to be still and know, and wait behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. There's no weapon that can stand against the wall God built in our defense. We may not always see His face, but we're secure behind the line of grace. Withdraw his eyes from the righteous night or day. We may not always see him, but he knows the way we take. When we have no strength, no power to fight, and it seems like God is nowhere in sight, he steps in front of the enemy while we rest behind.
always secure behind the line of grace. Oh, some final thoughts, Megan. Wow, this has been some powerful music, and we've just rearranged the show as we went. Thank you, Cedric, for being so wonderful. You're just a great engineer and made it all happen.
Well, you know, this show, this has been a blessing. Just number one, to come down here and to be back with our wonderful church family. And it's a new day. It's the start of a new season.
Yes, it is.
And I'm ready.
Yes.
And I have something here to share while we were listening to that song. It said, "You've been battered by your situation. You've heard about the line of grace, the front line to freedom. You feel weak, not strong enough to fight. Crawl over the line into my arms. I was created to stand in the gap for you.
Yes.
Come to me, my child, and take up your victory."
Oh, that is fantastic.
If you're too weak to stand, you don't have to stand. All you got to do is crawl on your hands and knees and speak the name of Jesus. And, you know, if you need prayer, email the team and
prayers at bohmglobal.com.
Who knows how many thousands of people will be praying for you, but there is victory in the name of Jesus.
Yes, there is. That's powerful. And you're moving forward, aren't you, with your life?
I am. You know, I have such a drive to minister to people.
Yes.
And, you know, that prophetic word was spoken over me when I was 9 years old at your church. And
yes.
I always wondered, I thought, what in the world is that going to do? Now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know. And I always joke, I'm now a CSI. I call it a Christ-seeking individual.
Wow.
Because that's what I'm going to live my life for.
Amen.
Is to get to heaven. And I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. Not what I or anyone else wants me to do, what he wants me to do.
Amen. Some of you out there may want to communicate with Megan personally. If you will just write me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, I will forward your note on to her, and then she will respond to you. They are here visiting for a few days, but normally they're up in Indiana. So just write me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and then I'll see that Megan gets your notes, and then you can start your correspondence with her. Betty, my friend, what has God done here today? It's been an amazing 2 hours.
Well, I tell you, he's given us a way out.
Right.
He's given us the courage to take that first step.
Right.
And I encourage our listeners that are listening now and in the future that if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And he's a loving God, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter the situation that you think that you're in, is just reach out. And like Megan said, all you have to say is the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And he's like, he comes in the blink of an eye, and he's right there to rescue you and give you his hand, his nail-scarred hands.
Amen. He's ready, and he's so willing to just listen to, pour out your pain to him. You know, I mean, even Peter did that. You know,
yes.
we've fished all night. We haven't caught a thing. Reality, you know, it's okay to tell Jesus, tell him how you feel. It's not far to Jesus. I love our ending song that we use so often. Yes. It's not far to Jesus, because he's right there waiting for you to run into his arms. So we pray a blessing on you, each one of you.
Yes.
Listeners this day. We pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of Almighty God. We pray that you will desire him like
yes,
you have never
yes.
done before. We pray that you will be strengthened with all power to do everything that God has called you to do. We pray right now that you will let go of the chains of fear and doubt,
Amen.
Panic, anxiety, worry, that you will let them drop off of you. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon,
Amen.
Nor will his bread be lacking.
Amen.
That is your promise, Isaiah 51:14. Grab it. And know that God's got a plan for you that perhaps you never even imagined could be yours. Anything else you want to say on that, Meg?
No, just be blessed and make the decision to crawl across the line of grace.
Crawl across that line of grace.
Everybody needs it.
Woo! Betty.
God bless all of those listeners that are listening today. I pray that God will have his hand upon you in any situation that you're in. Is rely on him.
Amen.
Lean back and let him do what he needs to do in your
Amen.
Life.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Woo! Ooh, this has been Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Megan coming to you as we do every Sunday live on this radio station, 1340 AM, tantalk.com. You know, it's just a joy to be able to do this every single week consistently now for almost 400 shows. So 300 and something. I'm not sure where we are, but PJ figured it out. So we're going to be hitting number 400 right around Thanksgiving of this year, and we'll have a big old party here. So it's going to be a fun time. So we welcome you to come to Beacon of Hope and join our Bible study group on Wednesday night. It is fun. Bring your Bible and a notebook, and you can bring your dinner from work. A lot of people do who get off work, come straight to church. We're done at 8:30, so it's not a long evening, and you will be blessed. Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. is our worship service. Come as you are. Come and enjoy the presence of the Lord and allow God to minister the word to you and prayer for your needs. God bless you. Have a great week. It's not far to Jesus, guys. See you next week. God bless you.
Verdi Show is always discovering new talent, like Monday Night Football commentator John Gruden's 17-year-old son, Michael.
Your son's going to compose a new Monday Night Football theme? Is that true?
He's going to try. That's why we sent him down there to meet Buddy. Maybe Buddy can point him in the right direction and get us some good advice. This is John Gruden of Monday Night Football and my son, Michael, and we're listening to the Buddy Verdi Show, and we love it.
That's the Buddy Verdi Show, Saturday afternoon from 1 until 3, here on Tantalk.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.